Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.
You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is teaching through a series of messages designed to encourage, equip, and prepare us spiritually for the world we live in. We've titled this series, Jesus, All We Need. In today's teaching, Pastor Brian takes us through Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33, reminding us that marriage is God's institution. What did the God of the Bible intend the purpose of marriage to be? Let's join Pastor Brian for an enlightening word on marriage in a message titled, God in Marriage.
Verses 22 through verses 33, and let me read those verses to you. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she reverence her husband. The title of our message this morning is God and Marriage. And I must say that I am and have been for quite some time deeply concerned about the attitude toward marriage that we find not just in the world around us, but even in the church today. I've spent a fair amount of my time counseling, and quite often I find myself counseling with men or women who are either divorced or, in some cases, even in the process of being divorced from their Christian spouse. And it really does seem that we have an epidemic of divorce in the church today. And it's not just with the people in the congregation. Sadly, quite often, this is happening with the leadership as well. I spoke to a friend on the phone this past week who is pastoring, but yet has had to step down for involvement with another woman, and pretty much was telling me, well, you know, I've had a bad marriage for years. I don't think it's necessarily going to work out. And this is the kind of thing that is a serious, serious problem for us today, and we need to address this issue. Now, a recent Gallup poll showed a record 70% of Americans believe divorce is morally acceptable. And, I mean, that is an outrageous number, but I wonder if it doesn't have to do with the attitude in the church toward divorce today. Because after all, who is going to communicate to the culture that divorce is not an option? The church is supposed to be communicating that, but if we are having similar percentages of divorce amongst ourselves, then what kind of a message are we sending? Now, it's difficult to get an accurate percentage of Christians compared to non-Christians divorcing, but some say the percentages are virtually the same. I don't know if that is totally accurate. In all the research I did, it sounded like it was fairly close, but whether or not it's totally accurate, we definitely have a problem. There's something radically wrong, and I think it's time that we begin to really take a serious look at this issue again, this issue of marriage. Because marriage is not something that was invented by man or by any particular civilization or society. Marriage is an institution that comes to us directly from God. And so we want this morning to look once again at this issue of marriage, and we want to look at a few different things regarding marriage: the origin of marriage, the sanctity of marriage, the permanence of marriage, the purpose of marriage, and finally we'll look briefly at some keys to a God-glorifying marriage. But back to that point that I made just a moment ago. Marriage is God's institution. Now, again, there's a ton of opinion out there regarding marriage. According to some, marriage is nothing more than a social institution based on an outdated value system that has outlived its usefulness. I remember a couple of years ago when the whole debate about same-sex marriage and all of that started to come up more and more. I remember reading some articles back then on the origin of marriage, and one article that I found particularly interesting and kind of hilarious, actually, was the speculation that marriage originated with the French. Well, of course, the French are known to be lovers, so I guess you would just draw that conclusion, but there certainly is no historical evidence for that kind of a thing. Marriage predated the French by a lot of years. And, of course, we can read about it in the pages of Scripture, but we read about it right back at the very beginning. As we just read together this morning, we read about it in the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis. Now, according to others, marriage needs to be redefined to include other than the male and female relationship. And as many of you know, same-sex marriage has now been declared a constitutional right for the citizens of California by the California Supreme Court. Now, I've kind of skimmed over the Constitution. I've not really seen that stated in the Constitution. But, you know, it's interesting how this is being forced on the culture today. But it's this attitude that we can do anything we want with marriage. We can adjust it. We can rearrange it. We can throw it out. We can ignore it. But all of that stems from a misunderstanding of what marriage is and where it originated. It originated with God, according to the Bible. And it must be understood in light of what the Bible teaches on the subject. And so as we read here in the passage this morning, it is clear that God is the author of marriage. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. And then he said, I will make him a helper comparable to him. Now, we perform wedding ceremonies. And as we are performing the weddings, we are saying to the couple that's standing before us, that, you know, we are certain that God is bringing them together just as God brought that first couple together. That God is the one who ordained marriage. He's the one who presided over the very first wedding ceremony. And as we stand to join Christians together in marriage, we encourage them with those words that we know that God has brought you together and that he's presiding over this ceremony today. But again, why do we say that? We say that because this is what the Bible teaches us, that marriage originated with God. Now, because marriage originated with God, it is sacred. There is a sanctity to marriage. There's something holy about marriage. We refer to it as holy matrimony. There is this element of holiness to it because it comes to us from God. Now, maybe you remember Jesus performed his first miracle and manifested his glory at a wedding feast. And I don't think it was an accident or just a coincidence that the first miracle Jesus performed was at a wedding. I don't think he was at a wedding and then just decided, no, this would be a good place to reveal who I am. I'll get my ministry started right here. I think it was intentionally at this wedding feast that Jesus performed his first miracle and manifested forth his glory as the Son of God, because just like today, marriage was in trouble in the days of Jesus. And there was a lot of confusion over the issue of marriage and divorce back in those days. And so Jesus performing his first miracle at this wedding feast was, in a sense, he was putting his stamp of approval. He was reminding the people that this institution is God's institution. And so marriage is sacred. Jesus showed us that by performing his first miracle there. Now, because marriage is sacred, it is not to be replaced with something more culturally relevant. Rather, it is to be held in high esteem and entered into with the deepest of commitments. You know, it is so tragic, and of course our culture has helped things along, our judicial system has helped things along, where today you can go in and out of marriage very easily. My parents were divorced when I was about 5 or 6 years old. And back then, there was a fairly lengthy process you had to go through. You had to actually appear before a judge, and you had to justify your desire for divorce. And sometimes a judge would even say, no, those are not valid reasons for divorce. And sometimes they would say, no, you can't get a divorce. Now, of course, today things have changed, and you can divorce over anything at all. And people are entering into marriage today not thinking of it as they ought to think of it, not entering into it with the intention of abiding in this relationship, not entering into it with the deepest of commitments. But it's a serious, serious commitment, because according to Jesus, marriage is intended to be permanent. Now, as I said, in the days of Jesus, there was controversy over this, and there was a lot of divorce in the culture. The popular teaching of the day, the leading rabbinical voice of the day, was a man named Hillel. And Hillel's view on marriage and divorce was very liberal. Moses had said that if a man found an uncleanness in his wife, he could put her away. And Hillel basically interpreted that to mean anything you don't like about your wife constitutes an uncleanness, so you could essentially put her away for anything. And as we read through the scriptures, we find that the religious leaders, they would come to Jesus on a few occasions, and they would challenge him on these issues. They would come to him and say, is it okay for a man to divorce his wife? And Jesus would take them back to the Word of God. Let me read to you from Matthew chapter 19. The Pharisees also came to him, testing him and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh? So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. Jesus made it clear God's intention for marriage is to be permanent. But they said, oh, but Moses, He commanded to give a certificate of divorce. And Jesus said, Moses did that as an allowance for the time because of the hardness of your heart. But I say to you, now Jesus raises the bar and he takes it back to God's original plan. He takes it back to what God intended. He basically says, what Moses allowed was a temporary allowance because of the hardness of your heart, but we're going back to what God originally intended because we've got a whole new relationship going here with God. According to Jesus, the marriage relationship is a marriage that we enter into permanently. It is not one that we can leave except under the most severe circumstances, and of course, death being the primary thing that would separate us. But what are the purposes of marriage? What was God's intention? I grew up in the Roman Catholic tradition up through my teenage years, and it was very clear that the church believed that marriage was primarily about procreation. And the teaching of the church was that that was really the main reason for marriage, was to produce children. And even taught that if you were to try to enjoy the physical aspect of marriage apart from creating children, then that was wrong. That was sinful. And many Catholics have lived their whole life under this bondage and this burden because they've used birth control, you know, things like that, because of this heavy teaching of the church. The Catholic Encyclopedia stated this very thing regarding marriage. It said, the marriage contract is that made by two persons of the opposite sex by which each acquires the exclusive and irrevocable right over their bodies until the death of one of the parties. I agree with that part, but then it goes on to say, for the procreation and education of children. While this is the primary end of marriage, there are secondary purposes. To employ the sexual function for self-gratification is to pervert the function. Now, I want to tell you today, that's wrong. Because we are told the primary purpose of marriage is not procreation, although that is a purpose, and it's a blessed purpose. The primary purpose of marriage is stated there in Genesis when God says it is not good that man should be alone. The primary purpose of marriage is companionship. God saw man's loneliness. He said, this is not good. Everything else was good, but this is not good. And God said, I need to make a helper that is suitable for the man, one that is compatible with him, one that is comparable to him. And that's exactly what the Lord did. And so God's purpose in marriage, you see, God is a relational God. God exists in three persons. There's relationship within the very nature of God. God creates man in his image. He created us to have relationships. And he created this relationship of husband and wife, so that we might enjoy companionship, that we might enjoy mental and emotional companionship, that we might enjoy spiritual companionship, that we might enjoy physical companionship. You know, one of the most wonderful things in life for me is just the friendship that I have with my wife. We often tell each other, you're my best friend. And it's really true. And the older I get, the more I find myself, if I have the choice, I want to spend time with her. We go walking. We do things together like that. And we just have a great time walking for a couple of hours. We talk and reminisce about the past. We talk about our children. We pray. We talk about the future. You know, it's this companionship. We share things that are deep and, you know, iron sharpening iron spiritually and emotionally and mentally. And we have laughs and, you know, things like that together. But this is God's purpose. God wants us to enjoy this relationship. So the primary purpose is companionship. God has brought us together for companionship. Now, procreation is a part of it also. God is into families. You know, the world around us isn't so much into families these days. And the more liberal your thinking is, the less family-friendly you become. Because you're worried, man, there's too many people on this planet. They're sucking up all the air and they're going to eat up all the food. And, you know, pretty soon we're all going to die. So we got to stop these people from having babies. You know, I mean, this is just where people are at today. But God is into family. God is into this community thing. And, you know, really, the attack on the family that we are presently experiencing and that has been going on for decades is really it's an attack against God. It's an attack against His institutions. And that's the truth with these, you know, things that have come down from the courts regarding the same-sex marriage. It's the truth with abortion. It's the truth with the divorce laws. It's all a cosmic, spiritual conflict that we are living right in the midst of, because these institutions, marriage, family, children, all of this stuff goes back to God in the beginning. Now, we as Christians, we are, you know, some of the only people that know this stuff today. So we have got to really take this seriously. If we ever have any hope that things are going to turn around in our culture, it's got to turn around with us first. And, you know, quite honestly, I have heard this myself from the gay activists and different people. They mock the idea of the sanctity of marriage because they say, if marriage is so holy, if marriage is so wonderful, how come you guys don't treat it like that? How come there's so much divorce? So they just dismiss any arguments about the sanctity or any of that regarding marriage because they say, you don't demonstrate that in your behavior. And so if we are, you know, that voice that's speaking out, and right, you know, just comes to my mind now, I think of very tragic things where some of the pastors that have spoken out against some of these different things, and then you find out they themselves have been involved in these very things that they're speaking out against. And then again, the world looks on and laughs and says, it's a joke, it's hypocrisy. We can't take that seriously. So you see, we have got to take these things seriously. The purposes of marriage are companionship, procreation. But as Paul tells us here in Ephesians 5, there's another purpose. Marriage is to display to the world the relationship between God and His people. That's what Paul said there. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother. He said, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. You see, what God wants to do is He wants to take your life, your marriage, and He wants to use that as an example of His love. And He wants to shine your married life around to others so they could see the beauty of what God intended in marriage, the beauty of what God intended when He created us for relationships, especially the relationship that He wants to have between us and Himself. And so these are the purposes of marriage.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more biblical insight from the Scriptures, remembering that all we need is Jesus. But if you missed any part of this study, or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called God in Marriage, and the resource number is OBB481. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together.
Our God, You reign for
Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.